This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is 12:08. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I am live in the home studio in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Lindsey Brown is at the historic WCCO Radio studio, making sure our guests come in and out on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And my friend Al Schock is in the newsroom, bringing you the latest on news, weather, information, and traffic. And just so you know, I'm sure you heard, we may be doing virtual church tomorrow because we're expected to have a couple of inches of snow. So you guys keep listening to the show today. We'll bring you the latest. And I know that a lot of you, Cozy and Charlotte and her daughter and mom, Linnea, Tom Graves, are regular listeners. Like Art Alexander listens faithfully. Jim Platton listens faithfully. And one of the things that I kept hearing from people last week as we talked about New Year's resolutions and doing new things is that they wanted to become authors. They wanted to write a book or a children's book. In fact, I was in a meeting with Andrew Voorhees from Thrivent, and we were supposed to be talking about a possible partnership with my podcasting network. And all we could talk about was Hetty Tripp's interview about how she was in a program through the Loft, and she's written a narrative, and she found grants, and she's developing a memoir. And I had an overwhelming response from that, with people who were saying, give us some more information. We want to get started this new year writing that book that we've been holding on to. We do not want to take our books to the grave. We want to get them done in 2025. This is our year. And so when I saw that Rachel Werner was doing some work over at the Loft, I thought, let me have her on, because today, in fact, she has a communal day of care, a class for writers of color and indigenous writers. And before that class kicks off, in good standing, she is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Rachel, I know this class is happening today from noon to 4 p.m. And I just thank you so much for taking a little bit of your time to chat with us about it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm so honored.
Now, let's get a little bit into your story. You're the author of some kid lit books. How did that journey begin?
Oh, my goodness. So I worked on staff at a women's lifestyle magazine in a different Midwestern state for a number of years. And through that, you know, I had the opportunity to connect with various people in the media world and other published writers and authors. Eventually, I met my own agent once I started teaching for The Loft. And, you know, now I live up here in Minneapolis because I'm so much more involved at the Loft Literary Center as a teaching artist. And as you have different stories, right? I think you probably had the experience, I feel, especially as a woman of color, where there are so many stories that we just didn't see ourselves in as we were growing up, right? And so there's just having a daughter now myself, I have really just been inspired over the last, like, I would say 6, 7 years to really write stories for kids that center people of color and that aren't trauma-based. I mean, there's something for that as well, but there's a lot of joy and beauty in our lives. I mean, my most recent book that came out, The Glam World Tour, just came on January 1st and it's published by Capstone. And that's, you know, you see the illustrator, Octavia Inc., she did an amazing job, but, you know, you see girls getting their hair cornrowed and locks in it, you know, and just celebrating, you know, henna and all these other different beauty traditions from cultures around the world.
And, you know, that is so important for you to get the story out, not just so that it's out there, but like you said, for young girls, young boys to see themselves in children's books, because you and I grew up where we did not see one person in a book who looked like us. So writing a book was absolutely something that, you know, we didn't think that, you know, was on our bingo card.
Nope.
but it's so beautiful because today you are doing something so meaningful with The Loft. It's called a communal day of care. What is that all about?
So today we are here. We're going to spend the next like 4 hours really just in community, giving this time for rest and healing, but also just being able to find out what are ways we can support ourselves, not only in our artistic endeavors, but just also, you know, mutual aid. We are so reliant in our country on just like capitalist systems and old outdated methods of philanthropy. So I think one of the things about coming together in a space like this, it gives us time to not only think about what we need on a micro level personally, but what do we need on a macro level as a community? And what can we, what support or resources do we all have that we can maybe pull together to help continue to lift each other up?
And, you know, people say, well, you know, I've been trying to write this book, but I've been so busy. In order to write a book, you have to shut everything out. You have to take some time to rest so that the creativity can flow. You also have to be around like-minded people. You can't be an author and be in a circle full of people who've never written a book before. You have to come together with folks who have done this work or who are doing this work so you can grow and learn from them and they can grow and learn from you. But talk to me about how important it is to gather together and that rest when you begin writing and creating.
Oh, exactly. I mean, especially most of us, you know, I mean, we're so servant oriented in our lives. We're constantly giving, giving, giving. And like you said, even if you are inspired to create some sort of art, whether it's a book, painting, photography, whatever it is, but you need space and time just to let your mind grow and dream. You know what I mean? And then also like start to work on a plan. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do some creative mapping exercises, some meditation, some journaling, do some light stretching, and really let ourselves just ground into ourselves and really think about, yes, you know, take a minute to breathe, but then also think about, okay, what's next? Like, how do I take that first or maybe the fifth step forward toward goals that I have for myself this year?
And I saw that you have some yoga. My friend Chantel Booker does yoga at the YWCA in St. Paul, and she has a candlelight yoga class. And she begged me to come. I'm like, girl, I don't have time. I'm busy. It's, you know, I got life. Life is life. And she was like, just come. You never know. And I got in that class, and I can't tell you just from the stillness how many ideas, how many creative concepts God downloaded into my system.
Right?
And that's when I realized God cannot speak to me if I'm doing all the talking, which is why the only time I get good ideas is if I'm taking a shower or washing the dishes. You know, talk to me about being intentional so that the creativity can flow when you get ready to write a book.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, I'm glad your friend made you come and was just like, yeah, you need to just, you know what I mean? You can keep being, if you want to keep being alive and letting yourself let that life flow into other people, you need to create some time to rest and move and really, because that is how what happens, right? Because if you're too tired, if you get to the point where you're too tired to even just get the basic things done in your life, you know what I mean? How do you think you're going to be able to write the book? How do you think you're going to be able to launch the podcast, right? Where's that energy? Where's that time coming from? Because the thing that you said specifically about going to a yoga class, I don't have time for this. Well, that's going to apply to everything else, you know what I mean, that you really want to pursue that would feed your soul and potentially could be a healing outlet for others too. And so that's why I wanted to do this today. You know, the loss, we're blessed to have funding, you know, periodically throughout the year. We're able to provide programming specifically for people of color and other Indigenous writers so that it's low cost. You know, sometimes it's even free so people can come right. and just be like, yeah, you know, and be here and let themselves really start to think about and let like the flow, like the time, right? They've got 4 hours today to really do what they need to do to feed their creative endeavors. And so again, for somebody, they like with you, they might have that inspiration really kind of just come alive while we're doing yoga. For someone else, like in the 30 minutes where we'll spend reading and journaling, you know, that might let them to start to kind of map out like, oh my goodness, this is my story and this is how I want to tell it.
And the Loft has been around celebrating 50 years, established in 1974. Writers come from around the country to take advantage of the classes and the services that they have available. And it would be a travesty of riches if we are right here in the Twin Cities and do not get over there and see what they have to offer to help us down this path to becoming a published author. Rachel Warner, I know you got to get back to your class. You got a lot going on, but I just can't thank you enough for not only coming on the show today, right? But putting this on, taking the time, getting the word out, and making sure these next 4 hours are so meaningful and so life-changing for someone who's going from just the concept of an idea or a book that they want to start to being a published author. And I just want you to update me on some of those journeys. I tell people all the time, success is not a dollar amount. It's when you can take an idea from inside of your head and put it in front of your face. And I don't care if they sell a million books or one book. If it's published, that's a success story. And you are helping them along that journey. Rachel Warner, thank you so much for joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline.
Thank you so much. And I hope that all your readers keep believing in themselves. They can do it. If someone had told me, you know, 10, 12 years ago that I would be where I'm in today, I couldn't have seen it, right? But other people gave me opportunities. And like, so just keep seeking and keep learning and believing and trusting, and God will get you there.
Well, I know that they can get there because you are there and you are helping push them to the finish line. It is 12:18. We'll be right back.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Need to keep them in our prayers. Because listening to these stories as they come out, families who have lost their homes, lost their lives, lost family members, pets, it is just devastating. The before and after aerial photos that you see, it looks like a horrible movie, but it is their lived reality. People are displaced and misplaced and now fighting insurance companies for coverage that they've been paying for, having to move to other parts of the country with family members they haven't seen in years, stuck in airports all across the country. Some people absolutely have nowhere to go. It is 12:23. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It is 22 degrees outside right now. And those people in California need us to pray for them. This world is so small. It used to be that if you lived on the East Coast, you didn't know anybody on the West Coast. And if you lived in the Midwest, you didn't know anybody down south. But with the virtual world that we live in now, so many of us have friends and family members and people we love and know in harm's way. And so let's all take a moment to just pray for them. And then, what can we do? Because more than thoughts and prayers are going to be needed. We see fire crews coming from around the world, Mexico, Africa, Canada, crews coming from across the country to head to California to try and help out as best they can in any way they can as families flee and run from their lives, the lives that they've built. They didn't do anything to deserve this. So what can we do to help? Find a way for you and your family, whether it is make a donation, whether it is organize something with your church and find a sister church in that area, whether it is finding a sister mosque, whether it is finding, if you are a teacher, a sister school. A lot of you are in fraternities and sororities. What is the local chapter in that region? How can you reach out to them to ask how you can help? Some of you have resources to hop on a plane. Some of you are carpenters, are builders, have small business. Is there another type of small business in that community that you can reach out to? This is going to take some looking. This is going to take some searching on your part. Sometimes it's not as easy as click here, click there. This is not one of those situations. I remember when Hurricane Katrina happened and people were just going down to New Orleans to ask, how can I help? Construction companies were showing up with trucks and workers working alongside city workers to restore power, to help families. Bus companies were just driving their buses down there to just pick people up who had began walking for hours along the highway to get away from the floods. So it's not going to be an easy click here, click there. You can do that too. There are ways. Salvation Army is there and it's always a trusted source to deliver a hot meal and that's good, but what more can we do? Because this is going to take a little bit more. This is going to take a little bit more. I remember when Hurricane Laura came ashore in Lake Charles, Louisiana, one of the strongest hurricanes at that time in our nation's history. And I don't know if y'all remember this, but five of my family members died during that storm. My father's sister, my father's brother, his sister's husband, my uncle, and two of my first cousins died during that hurricane. And I remember that the Lord placed on my heart to, my first book, Cameron Goes to School, had just came out, to go down there and donate 1,000 books. And I worked with authors here in the Twin Cities, Dr. Artika Tyner and Crown Shepherd and so many others who donated cases of their books for me to take down to Lake Charles, Louisiana and give to kids. Manhattan Toy Company, based right here in the Twin Cities, gave me 1,000 plushies to take down south. And we had just gotten our RV. We loaded all the stuff up in the RV and we were heading down south. And I remember when we got there, I could see the blue tarp on the homes. I could see the holes in the roof. I saw cars overturned, light poles and trees snapped in half like toothpicks. And Sean was driving that RV. And I remember looking over at Sean and I said, these people are going to lynch us because we are coming here with children's books and plushies and they need water and they need carpenters and they need electricity and they need shelter. They don't need no damn children's books. And he said, we have driven overnight for 21 hours nonstop. We're going to get these children's books to somebody. And so we had partnered with the library in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And they had a hole in the roof. They had to move a tree out of the way just so we could pull the RV into the parking lot. And do you know, when we got there, people were in their cars, because this is at the height of COVID. This is before the vaccine. They were lined up down the street and around the block to get children's books and plushies. And I couldn't believe it. And this one grandmother told me what I didn't understand. She said, "We have been living like animals. We've been lining up for food and water. But this is the first time that someone came with something that made us feel whole again. Somebody cared about our kids, that they had something to read and a toy. And so we've been looking forward to this all week." Y'all, it was so many people lined up for these children's books that they had to call the police because they were blocking off streets. We were there passing out books and plushies for like 4 hours. There was not a single plushie book or bookmark left. Teachers were coming because they knew where their students were and they wanted to get a case of books to take to, a shelter or some trailers, you know, that were, you know, a little bit out of town where they had displaced families to, grandparents and parents were coming. And, you know, there was one kid who came and he ran up over there and he didn't have any shoes on. And I was like, "Oh my God, where's your parents? Where's your mom and dad? Where are your shoes?" And the mom and dad are coming and they don't have no shoes either. And I was like, "Hey, y'all know this, it's debris all over this parking lot. Where are your shoes?" And they said, "When we evacuated, we left and we went to a safe spot. We had to leave our shoes because we left in the middle of the night. And there are no stores open. There's no electricity. So we can't go and buy new shoes. But we didn't want to miss a chance to come and get these books." So I said all that to say, do something. We'll be right back. It is 12:36, and y'all know a lot of times on this show, on the Shaletta Show, we micro target specific communities. Like we were just talking to Rachel Werner over at the Loft Literary Center, and we were talking about Black and Indigenous authors. Right. And making sure that they get their stories out there, that their voices are heard because they're underrepresented in children's literature. But sometimes stuff impacts all of us, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, Black or white, in the suburbs or right downtown in Minneapolis or St. Paul. It will hit you the same. We learned that during COVID. There was nobody exempt. Everybody had to follow the rules. Everybody had to adhere to the protocols. And everybody was hit the same way. It did not matter if you were riding in a Lamborghini or a hoopty. Okay? And there are just some things that are like that. Right? And my kids are, they have autism, but they are doing so well in their autism journey. So they answer the phone. Right. We even got Cameron an Xfinity mobile phone so that as she and her brother are walking to school and back, if something happens, she can call when she goes to choir practice or she's doing some after school activities. If she needs a pickup or something changes, she has a phone available. But with that phone comes risks. Right. And so the kids were going to the mailbox and I was like, "Why y'all keep going to the mailbox?" And they said, "Oh, because there was a man who called and he said if we gave him our address, he would mail us an Xbox." Yep. So we gave him our address and we're just waiting. So that's why we've been, because I was like, "Why are they so nice? They just go into the mail every day. I don't have to ask them. Usually I have to ask them to go." And then my mommy Spidey sense kicked in. I'm like, what are they looking for? And they had no idea. Now, what this man is doing with my address and my children's names, I have no idea. I'm sure I will find out whenever I get the bill for it. Or whenever we go to do something and they tell me, "Did you know you had this account set up here?" That could happen to anybody. And there's some specific scams to spot in 2025. How do we know what to look out for? Well, thankfully, I'm a proud member of AARP. I joined when I was 49 because you don't have to wait until you are 50. And they have a workshop coming up on Thursday, January 30th from 10 to 11 a.m. It's online. You do not have to leave your house. And it is called Scams to Spot in 2025. I'm glad Kathy McLear is joining us right now. She is the AARP Minnesota State Director, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Kathy, baby, I don't even know what's going on with Makia's names and the address that they gave this man, but girl, we're going to find out in the wash. Scams. Just scams.
Yeah. Oh, Shaletta, thank you so much for having me on to talk about this really important topic. And thank you for sharing your story, because I think when people hear that it can happen to you, it's happened to me, it's happened to you, it can happen to anyone. And this is such a huge problem. In 2023, $10 billion were lost to scammers. It is a huge problem, and you were so smart to get those spidey senses up and ask why. Why are your kids going to the mailbox? What's going on? And because you shared your story, and if others shared their stories, more people will report it, and then we can have tools to fight it.
And this is the thing. A lot of times you don't even know that it's happening because they're so quick and they're so cunning and they're so crafty. And they hope that, you know, the elder answers the phone or one of the little ones or that we're busy. They have specific times that they call. I remember one day somebody called me and they were like, yeah, we're from Bremer Bank. And we just need the last four digits of your social security number because it looks like somebody. And I'm in the middle of kids. And girl, do you know I gave them damn people the last four digits of my social security number? And it wasn't until I hung up and took a break and I was like, damn, they got me.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to our families. It happens to our neighbors. It happens to our friends. We heard a story from John in Falcon Heights. Someone emailed him claiming to be his pastor. His pastor. You know, preying on those emotions of someone who you trust, right? You trust your pastor. You trust people who go to your church. He got an email asking, you know, to provide $2,000 in gift cards so that they could help someone. John wanted to help. Of course, he, you know, was like, oh, I'm going
to
help.
How you going to turn your pastor down? You can't say no to the pastor. He thinks he's talking to his pastor.
Right. But you know what happened? He was smart enough to look at the email address and said, wait a minute. That's not the email that usually comes to my church or comes from my church. And he realized it was a scam. So he called his pastor to verify. So John in Falcon Heights did the absolute right thing. He knew what to look for, and he called to verify. And the pastor said, nope, it wasn't me. But can you believe that those are the tricks that fraudsters use to try to get your money?
Okay, so you've got this workshop coming up. Talk to me about how people can get registered for it, because again, scams are not something that specifically targets one community or another. These people are calling all of us because they're trying to get all of us.
Absolutely. And you talk about this on your show all the time. Knowledge is power. If you are informed, you have more power. If you can spot the scams, you can stop the scams. And so we really want people to join us for this online event. It's Thursday, January 30th. It's going to be cold out. You don't even have to leave your house. It's all online. January 30th, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We're going to have somebody from the Elder Justice Center. We're going to have somebody from the Better Business Bureau. We're going to have somebody from the Minnesota Attorney General's office to talk about how you can spot scams in order to stop scams. And it's free. Anybody who wants to participate can. You don't have to be an AARP member. You don't have to be 50 or older. And you can sign up at aarp.org/MN event.
Okay, aarp.org /MN events is right there on the page. You can sign up. And I don't want y'all to just take this information that we're talking about and sign up for yourselves or hold on to it. You got a circle of people in your book club. You know some folks at your church. You know some people at the mosque. There's some people that you are connected to at your synagogue, some neighbors that you know have been hit. You know, this is information that we can all use. Again, a lot of times on this show, we are micro targeting. So sometimes y'all tune out. Y'all like, oh, Shaletta's talking about women again. I ain't no woman. I'll listen later. Oh, you know what? Shaletta's talking to small business owners. I work for a major corp. This doesn't apply to me. This is something that applies to everyone listening, because nobody wants to get scammed. And Kathy, I love that you are doing this at the beginning of the year so we can get ahead of this thing, so that we know what scams to spot in 2025, because they change every year. They're slick. I don't know why the scammers are not, Kathy, Fortune 500 company CEOs, because they are some of the smartest people around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it changes all the time. And technology is new. And just when we figure out how they're getting our money, and we figure out how to stop them, they're one step ahead of us coming up with a new way to do it. And our AARP Fraud Watch Network provides lots of free information, resources, tools to help you protect your hard-earned dollars from those frauds and scams. So we have fraud specialists. So if you've been scammed and you just need some help, some advice on how to figure that out and get out of it, we have our Fraud Watch Network helpline. It's 877-908-3360. It's a free service. They can talk you through the process. They can give you some advice on how to get your life back. And the hard thing is that oftentimes when people lose their money, and particularly we're talking about older adults, they might lose their entire life savings, and they don't have the time to earn that back and to make that money back. It just is such a problem. And we just want to provide those resources to anyone. Whether it's you, whether you're getting this information for a loved one, an older parent, your adult kids, because even kids are targeted. It's not.
Oh, my God. And they so dumb. I just sent the dumb 18-year-old back to St. Cloud State University. God, I love him, but he just doesn't have good sense. And they are so they share so much information online because they live online. And this AI and all the new technology that is out there, as smart as they are when it comes to their devices and computers and trends, they're getting got. Those new college students, you know, targeting Andrew with the phony credit cards and the phony student loans or grants or scholarships that he won that he didn't apply for. And absolutely. So this is not something that is just for people who are 50 and older. Like I said, they have targeted my young children. They have targeted my college student. I've gotten got. My grandmother damn near sold a house for a free watch. They are coming for us. Like Kathy was saying, millions, billions of dollars with a B that Americans have stolen each year from scammers. And so this event, Scams to Spot in 2025, you got to join AARP Minnesota as they discuss the latest trends in fraud and how you can protect yourself and your family and your community. Thursday, January 30th, 10 to 11, 1 hour. It is free. It is online. Get it on your calendar now so that you can build your day around that, because we don't want you to miss it. And Kathy, give us that website again so we can make sure that they get to the right location so they can sign up for this free event.
Yes, you can learn more about fraud or this event at aarp.org/MNFraud.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the work that AARP Minnesota does to make sure that we are all safe, that we live better lives, that we and our family and our community are not taken advantage of. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. You all stick around. There is more to come. It is 12:53, you are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. As these stories continue to pour in from California, each one more heartbreaking than the other, it is not lost on me that there is a racial component and dynamic that is taking place in the media coverage of these fires. And it is not something that we have not seen before. If you go back to the tragedy that happened in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, when the Associated Press took photos of people coming from a grocery store with food, they were wading through chest high waters. And there was a white woman who was wading through, who had just gotten some food from a grocery store. And they said that she was surviving. She was trying to find food for her family. And she was dubbed a hero. There was a black man coming from the same grocery store doing the exact same thing. And they labeled him a looter. That scenario is playing out right now with the California wildfires. KTLA News showed video of about five or six black men carrying a TV from a home. They were carrying bags from a home. They were carrying clothes from a home. They were packing out pictures and frames and sofas. They were labeled looters. And everybody was just so shocked that people would take advantage. These men would take advantage of someone during their lowest time. These people have evacuated. And of course, they're looters going into the home and stealing the belongings of people who are fleeing the fires. When in actuality, these were the relatives of the woman who lived there. And as she began to leave, her cousins and brothers and uncles came to help her pack her furniture. These were all black people. And it's just a reminder to us to check our prejudices at the door, especially those of us who are reporting and telling stories. Your description of the people that you are covering, if you are in news, should be the same whether they are white, black, or otherwise. How is it that the first reaction to these black men carrying out a TV from a home is that they're looting? You know, black people do own homes. We do. Redlining tried to keep us out, but we do own homes. And it's sad that that story will go out all over the country, but the retraction will be local. The apology swift, the retraction local. So these men's faces carrying this TV out of their home is going all over the country. And they're being labeled looters when they're actually helpers. It is 12:57. There's more to come on The Shaletta Show.